Thanks, Simon. I was just thinking this morning, actually, just to say thank you, actually, to Simon and to Jane, because over the last couple of years, Simon and I have known each other for a while from going to WASS, as you said, but we got to know them a bit better, and as our families grow up, it's been really challenging, some of the things that we face as families, and to actually grow our relationships together and chat through those things, and the wisdom that both of them have had as we've been growing up and seeing the families grow up has been really great. So I just want to honour both of them for what they're doing. And just as well, Simon is a great leader of meetings, as you all see, but actually a less well-known thing is that he's the chairman of our trustees for River Church. And actually, at the moment, there are lots of things going on in the background which most of you won't know about, but he's putting a shed load of time in with Ian Linton as well in terms of some of the governance processes in our church. And that largely goes unseen, and I just wanted to honour Simon for that, because I don't think anyone really sees that or appreciates it, but he puts a shed load of time into that, and Jane releases him to do that. So I just wanted to say thank you for that as well, Simon. So thank you for your introduction. This week is happening. We're doing a series about living waters, and this week we're talking about Jesus in the workplace. It's a bit warm, obviously. I've dressed up for you, I hope you appreciate that. Normally I'm out with our primary school children in shorts and flip-flops, but it's a bit warm, but there you go. So for me, the fruitfulness on our front line is... Oh, I'll come up in a minute. Oh. Okay. The fruitfulness on our front line, and my front line is my workplace, as Simon was saying. So that's what I see as being my mission field, and that's where I live out most of my life. As we go to work, we spend a lot of time there. The things that I'm going to talk about today, I think if you're not in a workplace environment, I think some of the things you can transfer into the situations you're in schools, colleges, retired neighbours and everything, are equally transferable. So where I wanted to start was Lawrence Singlehurst, you may remember, kicked off our series with some statistics from a survey called Talking Jesus, which was a survey that was commissioned by the Church of England, Hope and the Evangelical Alliance. And I just wanted to put one statistic on the screen to start with. You can tell I've not done this before, can't you? Yes? Right, here we go. So you can look on their website. There's a download for all the surveys. I haven't fudged this or anything or made anything up. But one of the things that, for me, was the middle statistic, which is that how many people in the workplace know a Christian? And according to their survey, only 7% of people in the workplace know another Christian. So my back of the fact packet, being a finance person, let's say there's 100 people here that are in the workplace, that actually there are 7 of us that are known in our workplace as being Christian. And some of the conversations around that are obviously, are we closet Christians? We've got something to hide. Why is that? And that's what we're going to look at today, because I don't think we should be closet Christians. I think we should be telling people, because we've got some good news to tell them. So my agenda for today is... Should we just go home? Okay. Am I pressing the wrong button? Okay. What does your workplace look like? How God's changed my heart in my workplace, and it's good to talk. So, first part of what we're going to do is going to be nice and interactive. I'm not used to my audience in primary school outside of the kids being quiet. So we'll be interactive. We give prizes and contributions. Not going to be chocolate like Harry Potter at Christmas, but we all like Haribos. And I've got some wine gums as well. So, what I wanted to find out was, What do you think about your workplace? And normally, before we start with the kids, if you need to go to the toilet, you don't need to ask me. Okay, you can go on your own. And I'm certainly not going with you. Okay? So, if you think about the place that you work, an adjective to describe your environment. Could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing. Put your hand up and very good. Have you been in float before, Sarah? Very good.
Hectic.
Have a sweet, Sarah. Anyone else got anything else to say? Just to let you know, there's a maximum.
You've got to put them in your mouth at the same time.
Busy.
Okay. That's two from Mrs. Wells. Anyone got any other ideas? Pat.
Uplifting.
Uplifting, that's a good one, isn't it? These are much better than I thought I was going to hear. Another one at the back.
Stressful.
That's a good one.
Challenging.
Anyone else got anything? Angela? Frantically waving. Is that the Haribos for you? Are you sure?
Repetitive. Rewarding.
These are all a bit more positive than I was thinking, actually. You've obviously got a really good workplace.
Inspiring.
Flipping heck, I don't know what the next slide's going to do now. Sarah. Stressful, we'll have that one. Okay. Okay, so when I was thinking about my workplace, I've been in my workplace for 12 years. These are the adjectives that I came up with. I hope you like the graphic as well. Jordan said I should change the colours, but I'm not bad for a colourblind kid, eh? So, yeah. So, aggressive, unfair, rude, irreverent, selfishness, greed, promiscuity. Alright, I wonder where I'm working. Yeah. Yeah, that's just me, yeah. No, that was the River Church offers, wasn't it? So, yeah. I'm going to explain why this has changed. So, when I first arrived in my current organisation, that's pretty much how I saw it. And over the period of time that I've been there, I've seen God change things where I work. And when I was looking at the speech bubbles for this, these are the things that I could see that are now over the last 12 years are now starting part of life in the organisation that I work in. I pray for the organisation. I pray for people in the organisation. There's hope in that organisation. I have words of prophecy for people in my organisation. Support. Words of comfort, searching, and there's reconciliation between people in our workplace. So for me, God's clearly changed my heart over that period. So I'm going to basically tell you a little bit about my journey on the next section about how that's happened. For me, there are a couple of things that, in terms of examples of how that's happened. I don't know what your workplace is like, but like generally in life, people swear a lot, and you'll have your own view about whether swearing is good or bad. But I've never mentioned it, and when I go to meetings at work, people apologise when they swear. It's a bit weird. I've never said anything, I've never commented on it over the time I've been there, but people are really, really... I'm sorry for saying that. And actually it's changed because now when you go to meetings there are less and less people swearing as often. And when new people come in and they see that, they start off and then it changes their behaviour too. For me, how it's changed is that I had a situation in my team. I have a team of about 25 people in a finance department, and I had an allegation a few years ago of bullying between two members of the team that I managed. And we were at the point where it was going to be escalated to HR, and we basically had a conversation around, let's have that pre-meeting before we actually escalate and it becomes a formal process. So we had that conversation, and as we were going into our meeting room, God gave me a word, reconciliation. So the people I was talking to weren't Christians, they didn't have any faith. And as I went into the meeting, we talked about, would it be okay if I prayed before we started the conversation? And they said yes. So we started the conversation, we prayed. It gave me an opportunity to explain what reconciliation meant, what Simon said about taking the blood and the wine. And we prayed, and actually we worked out that conversation. And there wasn't no escalation. They said their piece. We prayed for reconciliation, and it gave me an opportunity to share something about my faith as well, which was really amazing. So that was good. So for me, over that period of time, God's changed my heart. So I just wanted to explain a couple of things about how that's happened. When I very first started, and that first slide with all the very negative things, I felt that I wanted to remain distant, sort of monastic, away from that environment, because I actually didn't want to be tainted in a way of the things that were going on there. And over time, God's changed my heart. I've said it a few times. So now I don't go out and party as hard as they do, because I'm getting on a bit. And most of them are actually young enough to be my children. And who wants to go out partying with your dad, Jordan? No. But when I go out, actually it's amazing in the relaxed environment of before being a little bit happy, and when I leave, the conversations that you have and the openness that people have. So God's moved me through that process. For me, the journey that I've been on is that in those early days, I had plenty of opportunities to share my faith in the workplace. And actually, to my regret, I didn't have much to say. And one of the challenges, and I've shared about it before, was that it wasn't very good, because I was in a situation where I was being asked lots of things and I didn't have anything to respond. And God was saying to me that this is my calling. I've got people here that are looking for things, and I need to be there to give them those answers. So for me, that journey has been investing in my relationship with God and making sure that when those opportunities arise, I've actually got something to say, which is sensible. And the thing that I realised over that time is that if you're in a place of darkness, what are you looking for? You're looking for light, you're looking for hope. And if I'm not going to be there to tell anyone about it, who are they going to hear it from? One of the people I worked with said that he would never come to church, because if he did, the holy water would burn up because of the lifestyle that he had. And he had some legitimate reasons for saying that as well. But actually, he's bringing hope to those situations. So a couple of quick examples of some hope that is in the office. I know you'll be a bit surprised by this, but I'm moving into sort of a relationship advising at work now, so how to find a life partner. It wasn't that funny. So we were just chatting, one of the girls in our sales team, Monday morning, just having a cup of tea in the morning. How was your weekend? Looked a bit sad, unhappy, didn't go well. She'd broken up with her boyfriend a few months ago, was looking to find a new boyfriend, couldn't work it out, couldn't find anyone nice, and had started using some dating sites to find somebody. And unfortunately, she had been out a series of times with guys, and it was a bit of an eye-opener for me in terms of what she was sort of talking about. I won't go into all the details because there's some young people here, but there you go. But to say to the fact that she basically is in a scary world about how you find a relationship. She's in her early 30s, and she actually said that she might come to church because we're only nice boys that she could start dating, because she's getting desperate, really, I suppose. So, but she can't find anyone. In reality, when she meets a guy, the only questions they want to know is how quickly can they can have sex and what sort of sex they can have. And for me, leading our kids in primary school and having a family as well and being involved in youth work, actually for me it was a bit of a challenge thinking about how we're preparing our young people for the world that they're actually going into, because it is very, very common from the conversations I've had with her and then with other people. So it is a little bit scary. So for me it's about leaving a little bit of something of Jesus in that conversation. You know, we had a cup of tea and a chat, and it's an ongoing thing. And each time sharing a bit of Jesus' love, Jesus' perspective in those exchanges that we're having. The other one I was just going to briefly talk about was a guy that I work with who is from a Muslim culture, and he basically had a situation where he had a big situation with his parents. They wanted him to marry a certain person and they didn't want him to marry the person he was going to. He was adamant about it. He was basically sort of disowned by his family. And over about a two-year period, there was a lot of heartache, lots of threats. And during that time, we spent a lot of time praying together in work and at home to get him through that journey and bringing hope to that situation, because, believe me, it was utterly hopeless, the situation he was in. And now he's got a young family. There's a small measure of reconciliation with his family, but I know in that process that God has spoken to him. He doesn't see it quite in the same way that I see it at the moment, but he has seen him in that situation. So for me, work is, I spend a lot of time at work. It's building authentic relationships with those people that I'm walking on, be it work, meals, drinks, sporting events, you know, and through the good times and the bad times. For me, I think sometimes we can be a bit worried that people are going to be put off by us, scared by it, whatever. But for me, I think the Holy Spirit makes us attractive in my workplace. People want to talk to me about what's going on. They want to know why I live my life the way I do, because it's completely different to a lot of the way they live their lives. And they see that and they get drawn to me. They see the Holy Spirit in me. And they are actually interested in it. A lot of the people, I think, perhaps if you're older like me, you know, 25 years ago, you might have been worried when you share your faith with people. People kind of are not interested and you have to push it really hard. But actually, I think things are different now. People are interested in our stories and our message. They really do want to know. So again, it's about, Lawrence talks about this thing about moving people on the journey of faith. My job's not to necessarily bring people to a decision. It's just that there are so many people that don't know anything about Jesus now. It's just moving them along little steps as we go. So it's being a little bit braver, perhaps, about some of the conversations that we have. So again, just a quick example. One of the guys in my team just a couple of weeks ago had been ill for quite some time. And he was actually going away to the doctors to get some tests. And as he was leaving the office, we're in a big open plan office, Holy Spirit was just saying to me, I think you should go and pray for him. So you know when you kind of think, well, I didn't really hear that, did I? It's, you know, it wasn't for me. And then you see him packing up his desk and going, and as he's walking to the other end of the office, I'm kind of thinking, do I have a choice? Shall I do it or shan't I? And of course I thought, yes, I should do it, shouldn't I? So I legged it up. And we did it all very professionally, of course. It was in a kitchen area where everybody else was. So we were there together, and I was just praying, asked him if he wanted to pray. He said, yeah, that'd be really good to do that. So as we started praying, everyone came in to make tea and coffee and get biscuits and stuff like that. So we curtailed it a little bit. It was a bit embarrassing, I think, but he was cool with it. And, you know, that's been great. But I've just learned that perhaps I should have just gone to a meeting room to have that conversation to start with. So let me just check where we are time-wise. Okay. So, I said about good to talk. For me, there are some very simple things that you can talk about. Oh, thank you, Simon. That was a subtle hint, wasn't it? Jane's got the roast in the oven, hasn't she? No! So, it's about just being engaging with people. So again, over the period of time I've been there, the concept that Lawrence has talked about, and I think he's going to come and talk about it again later in the series, is this thing about conversational tennis. So when you talk to people, you just throw things out and you throw them out and see if you get anything back. And if you do, you continue the conversation. And if you don't, you leave it and you move on. So again, a few things for me. It's very simple. Friday afternoons in the office, everyone talks about what you're doing at the weekend. I'm going out to get slaughtered tonight, or you know, I'm going out drinking, I'm going partying. That wasn't me, obviously. But, you know, what do you do at the weekend? I go to church, my wife's a vicar. I do Sunday school. But those are the sort of things that you just throw out and they see what happens. And they go, oh, right, you go to church, do you? Oh, what's it like? You know, it's easy to do things like that. For me, it's about being just warm and friendly. So literally, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, when I get into the office in the morning, I have a security guard that opens up the office before our receptionist arrives. And, you know, he gets the usual, hello, and everyone says, hello, back to him. You know, that's all there is as you walk in. And one day, just about 2 or 3 weeks, I noticed he was looking a bit tired, so he'd been working all weekend. And we just started having that conversation over the time. So now he's not had a great experience at church, didn't really like it. His girlfriend's just pregnant, and it's a bit of a surprise, apparently. And we're sort of just starting to evolve that relationship. We haven't really gone anywhere substantial, if you like, but actually in the conversations he knows about Jesus, he's kind of moved on that. Hopefully he thinks I'm relatively normal. I know some of you might disagree with that. I watched you raise your eyebrows then. And I wouldn't take anything for granted about what people know. At Easter time, over the last few years, we've done this stewardship thing about acts of generosity for the 40 days of Lent. So we've talked about that a lot at the office over the last 2 or 3 years, and one of the new girls that came to start her accountancy training last year was talking about, with the rest of the team, so I didn't have to talk anything about it, they were talking about Easter and Lent and all that sort of stuff. And I was genuinely gobsmacked that she didn't know what Easter was actually about. She did think it was all about chocolate and bunnies, and she had literally no, I mean, she's an educated woman, and she had no idea about it. So actually, when you started talking about what Jesus did at Easter time, it was amazing. She was like, really? And I didn't think that was really true, but she said no one's ever told me about it before. So I wouldn't take anything for granted about the things that people say and what you think they're going to understand. So for me, it's very straightforward, and hopefully it's for you guys too. It's about connecting with those people, introducing them to Jesus. Hopefully the experience wasn't too painful for them or for me. And actually they're in a good place, they're in a better place for the Holy Spirit to speak to them the next time someone comes on to speak to them. And that's all I've got to do. And if I'm there for the next encounter, so be it. But if it's one of you guys or someone else at work, then that's great too. So I think that's a good place to leave them. So, 10 past... I'm doing alright on time. Okay, not bad for a first go, isn't it? It's not really like this in flow. Much more heckling. So, what I wanted to close with was, I have a clip that we're going to watch. I wanted just to raise a few things in your mind before we watch that clip. It's about 4 minutes. It's a Bethel kids clip, but it's an adult worship song, but the kids have done it, which is some of the stuff we do in Flow quite a lot. So I don't know how you feel about work. I don't know whether you go on a Monday and think, work again, I've got to pay the mortgage. I love my job, I love the people I work with. God has absolutely put me in that place, and it's amazing. So for me, that 7% statistic that we looked at to start with, I want to see if that's true for us, that actually that 7% statistic increases. Not because I'm interested in statistics, although because I'm a finance person, I obviously am. But I know that all the people I work with are looking for things, and they're looking for hope. And if I don't give them that hope in that situation, they're not going to be in an environment where they get that hope from anywhere else. So I want us to have a different heart in our workplace about how we see people and how we treat people. And I want us to think about being the provider of that hope through prayer, prophecy, whatever floats your boat. It might be just coming along, somebody talking nicely to them or whatever. So, when I was praying, God gave me a little picture, like he quite often does. So for me, as we listen to this track, God wanted to think about some people in our workplace environment. It might be our workplace, it might be college, it might be neighbours, if workplace doesn't float your boat. And God said to me that for all of us, there are two or three people, that was the best one I could find, so it's a bit more, so you might get five, I don't know. But there would be a couple of people that God would really lay on your heart as a kind of takeaway from today, to say these are the two or three people that I really am going to focus my prayer on, do all these things, and let's see how much of a difference we can make in sharing something of our faith with them. For those of you that were at Riverfest a few weeks ago, there was a guy there called Julian Richards. He talked about the idea that he has a healing ministry, and when he prays for people to be healed, he always has fear before he prays for them. And he said that his challenge was how he responded to that fear, because that fear would be there all the time, whether he responded with courage or with cowardice. So for me, in those examples about the bullying allegation and praying for that guy in the office, I could have easily had cowardice and not done it, and I got close to being cowardice rather than being brave. But actually, I want us to be able to rise up with courage and bravery to actually respond to those situations so we make a difference at work. Because I know that the people I work with, and I'm sure they're representative of all the people you work with, are looking for hope. They know that they're not good. They know what their foibles and failures are. They need some hope. And I want us to be bringers of hope. So, Ian, can we watch that clip? And that's me done.